Coming up, we'll tackle the question, do you have to be insane to be successful? The Fed makes a hike, we'll break it down, and then a startup that is helping companies fire people. And we coach you up. Let's go. Helping you win at work and in your life by giving you the competitive edge to make more money and more impact. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Excited to have you with us. All right, so this is a fun question. I saw an article on this topic, and I said, let's talk about this. I think some of you have already made your decision. Do you have to be insane to be successful? Now, for some of you may go, okay, Ken, are you trying to be sensational today? No. And we're going to attack this topic. And I'm going to weigh in and tell you what I think. Yes or no? So where does this come from? So Forbes did an article about one half of a Nobel Prize winning duo. The two people are an astronomer and physics professor by the name of Didier Queloz and Michael Mayer. And they were both awarded the Nobel Prize for discovering an exoplanet orbiting a solar-type star. Now, some of you are going, I don't know what any of that means. And I'm going to tell you what it means. So those of you who are familiar with Star Wars or Star Trek, right, in sci-fi, the idea that there are other planets that have stars, right, like our planet, the Earth, and the sun is our star. So, all right, so we all get that science fiction. And there's been a lot of people that think that's silliness, and a lot of people in the scientific community believe it's real. Here's the deal. They went through all this unbelievable testing, and despite all kinds of criticism in their process of discovering this exoplanet, they kept going, and they were able to come up with testable proof that they found this exoplanet that had a star like our sun, much closer to it than the sun is to the Earth. So that's the story. So this guy, Mark Murphy, does an interview with Didier Queloz. And Queloz comes out and says, I believe you must have a soft insanity, is what he called it. A soft insanity in order to persevere in the face of resistance and criticism, right? So some people just rejecting your ideas and then criticizing your ideas. That's what we're talking about. He said, the soft insanity of success is like a drug. It's an addiction to the novelty. To see a bit further. To be the first one to see something that nobody else has seen. And so therein lies the idea. So I thought to myself, all right. At first blush, when I read the article, I thought, hunch says there are moments where you will seem crazy to people. So if soft insanity means for people who really make a difference in the world and do things that are extraordinary and vision casting and never seen and just totally like, whoa, where's this come from? You face incredible resistance in the form of rejection and criticism. So what keeps you going? So at first I thought, well, what keeps a person going in this situation is an unbelievable desire, a desire to get an answer to a question that is driving them crazy, right? So I started thinking through this. I said, okay, this is great. Let's go to the dictionary definition of insanity, because as I was thinking through this and just processing this article, many times we say that insanity is, they say the definition of sanity is continuing doing the same thing and getting the same result, right? So you don't get the desired result, you keep doing it. And we say, well, that's insanity. And then I thought, well, wait a second. How many times did Alexander Graham Bell start over after getting the same response, which was failure, or incremental changes but no success, however you want to look at it? Thomas Edison. I mean, you just think all the great inventors. How many times did they just keep getting the same result? They couldn't get the breakthrough. They stayed with it. They believed there was an answer there, and they finally saw something that they didn't see before, and voila, it happens. So I thought, okay, I don't know that the way that we kind of that folklore, the way we define insanity, I don't think that's true. Or is it true? And you actually do have to have bouts of insanity to do something extraordinary that nobody believes can be done. Right? So I thought, oh, this is just, so what does the dictionary call insanity? And this is one version. Extreme foolishness or irrationality. So now I thought, uh-oh, I'm digging what this physicist is laying down, which, by the way, the only time in my life that I maybe could even understand a physicist. But I said, I understand this because if we look at extreme foolishness or irrationality, that's in the eye of the beholder. How many of y'all had a political discussion with your friends and family over the last year? And they said one thing, you go, and you're thinking it, maybe you didn't say it, but you're like, you're crazy. Well, you may think they're crazy and their beliefs are crazy, but they don't think they're crazy. And so you think about this and you go, all right, let's just take my lifetime, for example. Let's take the 90s, okay? Early 90s, I'm in college. If you would have told me about a smartphone when I was in college, the way we use these iPhones today, I would have told you, you're crazy. I would have. If you go back to my high school days, I mean, 1988 to 1992, and if you would have told me about this thing called YouTube, I would have said, that's nuts. And we could go on and on and on. So this idea that you have to be a little bit insane, he calls it soft insanity. I'm going to call it what we all use all the time is temporary insanity. The moment where everybody looks at you or the people that are giving you feedback are rejecting your ideas, they're rejecting your vision and saying, no, don't want it. Could be a customer or a potential customer, or could be friends and family and they're criticizing it. But you believe in your heart of hearts it must be, and so you're going after it. I do believe then that if we see this in sports, we see this all over the world. People that others have discounted and rejected and dismissed have done great things. Why? Because I actually think they've had some temporary insanity. In other words, they've exhibited what others think is extreme foolishness and irrationality. But it was really conviction. So the jury is out for you. Where do you need to be temporarily insane? Where everybody else goes, it's crazy. They look at you like you're crazy. But you know, I've got the talent. I've got the passion. And this is my mission. See, now that's conviction. And many people will look at that. And they'll say, you're crazy. You're foolish. And you can go, yes, I am. I'm temporarily insane. What are you going to do about it? And just press on. Press on. Despite the criticism, despite the rejection, it's okay to be insane. All right, we'll talk about the interest rates next. All right, welcome back to the Ken Colbert Show. I am your coach. So that you can make more income and more impact. That's it. Hey, Ken, what's the show about? You making more income and you making more impact. By the way, you know what that turns into? Mondays don't suck anymore. And you're not dragging all kinds of crap home from the workplace that's affecting your family. That's what I mean by winning at work and in life. Pretty simple stuff. Formula's not difficult. You spend most of your day using what you do best. Doing work you love, producing results that matter to you, I got news for you. That's the dream job. It is not the position you fill. It is the emotion you feel. So there you go. All right, a couple stories here we got to get to. Obviously, everybody and their mother is talking about the interest rates. And so I don't want to spend a terrible amount of time on this, but I do want to be, if I can for you, can I be the voice of calm? And we need to talk about the dreaded R word, recession. Not only did the feds raise rates yesterday, we also now can say we are in a recession, but I'll tell you what I think about this recession and what it means to you. First, let's just look at the details. The benchmark interest rate was raised by 75 basis points. And the Fed has said point blank, they are trying to inflict a little bit of pain, both corporately and personally, to try to slow inflation. This is all an attack on inflation. So they want to see less jobs offered. Not my words. Jerome Powell said this a month ago. And they want to see not only the jobs change, but they want to see everything slow down. They want the supply to catch up to the demand. All right. So this is how they're going. This is not a monetary policy show. I'm not going to get in the weeds, but I'm going to tell you that's what's going on. Now, more importantly, because of the fear factor out here in our world, we also saw that for the second straight quarter, the gross domestic product, that's the economy as a whole, what it's producing, goods and services, declined for the second straight quarter. Now, politics has gotten to be so foolish and silly that there's all kinds of debates across the aisle already this week. Is it a recession? Is it not? Biden White House saying it's not. Jerome Powell says he doesn't think we are. I'm just telling you that up until this moment in history, the technical definition of a recession is two straight quarters of decline. Now, here's where this is interesting. Okay, the number of Americans filing for unemployment benefits has increased because companies have announced layoffs or hiring freezes. The housing market is beginning to soften. And consumers are still, but unemployment remains at historic lows, 3.6%. We still have 11.3 million jobs available. And consumers are still showing heavy signs of spending. So that when you hear it's not a recession, it is a recession, none of that matters. Here's the deal. Technically, it's a recession, but it's a soft recession. Very soft, very mild as of right now. Could pick up and get worse. But you need to understand that there are some still healthy economic factors that are present. So that's why I lay that out. It's not the sky is falling. If you want to tighten your belt, it's always smart to do that. But this is not a sky is falling situation. Be prepared. Companies, because they're led by people who succumb to fear, they may do some preemptive layoffs and you may be vulnerable. You should be vigilant, but you do not need to be freaked out or worried because it is still a very, very hot job market as of right now. Okay. So just a little bit of caution to not dive into panic. All right, this story drives me nuts because I'm a man of the people, and I have to call out this nonsense when I see it. This story really got my attention. I can't even believe this. Klarna is a company that you may not have heard of. Better.com, maybe not heard of this company. Both of these companies have done some stunningly awful things to their people. Klarna, their CEO, recently played a pre-recorded video at an all-staff meeting to tell his employees that many of them were about to be laid off. That's right. Everybody's sitting there. This idiot plays a video that says, some of you in this room are going to be laid off. Doesn't tell them who, doesn't say how many. The company then made them wait for 2 days to find out whether or not they were the ones on the chopping board. They then delivered the bad news in a script, and they delivered this to 700 workers, 10% of its workforce, via video calls. The calls lasted 2 to 3 minutes. Sure. 2 to 3 minutes is all you need to rip the Band-Aid off, right? These idiots. Complete and total idiots. Then you know the story about Better.com. If you've paid attention to this show, we shared this. Their CEO laid off hundreds of employees in a Zoom call. Then, if that wasn't bad enough, he accused them of stealing from the company by not being productive enough. So I'm going to fire you and then call you a thief on the way out. A few months later, second round of layoffs happened, and the company accidentally sent the soon-to-be terminated worker severance checks, but they had not told the people they were getting fired. So this is, by the way, after they put the CEO, who did the boneheaded layoff Zoom call from his kitchen, they fired his butt, but then the company still did this. So imagine you go to your mailbox one day after a long, hard day of work, and there's your severance check, and you're like, I'm sorry. I mean, that's right up there with the Jelly of the Month Club letter that came late to Clark Griswold in Christmas Vacation. That was a real smack in the face. Okay, so this is the environment we're in because of how things have changed with Zoom and remote workers. A lot of layoffs are happening with startups. These aren't stable companies. They had a lot of cash infusion. They're trying to get going. So there's a company now, enter in Continuum. Their CEO is Nolan Church. And are you ready for this? Their company, because of what they offer what they call fractional executives. So it's like part-time consultants. And instead of having to hire a high salary executive, you can pay them for portions of their time via consulting. And so Continuum connects these executives to companies this way. Well, what they found out is that a lot of companies who were using their services were asking these part-time executives, can you give me advice on how to lay people off? Folks, this is the world we're in right now. Executives don't know how to lay people off. I'm going to get to this. I'm going to tell you my free advice. By the way, you don't have to pay me thousands of dollars. I'm about ready to give you two-step advice on how to lay people off. Well, we got companies that are paying executives for advice on how to lay people off. So this guy, the CEO of Continuum, says, we got an opportunity here. So they created an app where basically you can get advice on how to lay people off. Unbelievable. They charge a flat fee for the consulting services through this app. So they created an app. You can sign into the app. And that's how you get the services. It's all app-based, but then you go, well, you know, it depends on how many people you got to lay off, the fee gets higher. Are you kidding me? This is ridiculous. So I thought to myself, this is really simple. Hey, leaders, if you got to lay somebody off, two steps. Number one, be clear. Number two, be kind. In other words, if you had to be laid off, how would you want your leader to lay you off? I would hope that you would want them to be clear with you to explain the whole situation and why you're being laid off. Hit me with the truth, baby. Just tell me, right? It's like the girl who's breaking up with you. You know she's breaking up with you, but she's kind of flying the plane around the airport. Hey, is it another guy? Just tell me. I want to be done with this nonsense. And then be kind. This sucks. But it's part of leadership. It, believe me, it sucks for you. Yes, leaders, it does. But it sucks way more for the other person. So just be clear and be kind. All right, more on this next segment. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. I want to tell you fine folks that I'm very excited about a video that we're going to put out soon on my Instagram, at Ken Coleman. So we were goofing around in the office a little bit earlier today. I'm a big believer in goofing off at work. Now let me explain what I mean. I don't mean goofing off all day long, right? I'm talking about moments of goof off are wonderful for a great culture. It really is. You work hard, but you got to play hard every once in a while. So we have a Nerf football in the Ramsey personality area here where all the Ramsey personalities work, and we've got team members that work with us in there. And so I came out of a meeting, and this was all spontaneous. So I came out of a meeting this morning, and And I walked in, and one of my buddies that sits in there, it was one of our brand leaders, he was on the phone, but he was just tossing up a little Nerf ball, and I got all excited. It's that time of year. Friday Night Lights, baby, coming soon. And so I got excited. So I said, hey, he's on the phone. So I said, he threw the ball and I caught it. Next thing you know, another guy comes out and we start throwing the ball in there. All that to say, I ran a couple routes, made some great catches. There was a celebration dance. We caught it. I didn't know that I was on video. Somebody was a little sneaky video. And they showed it to me and I've approved it. It's quite funny. But I'm just saying, I want to point out that it's actually really good for culture. It's good for connection. And it's just good for your soul. You're busting it, getting after it. And I have hardly any downtime during the day. I mean, I'm like, I'm going, man. If some of you looked at my schedule, you'd faint. But there are times where you just steal a moment in the meeting to tell a funny story, to goof off a little bit. It does wonders for you. It does wonders for your teammates. So schedule or just be open to the unscheduled goof off is all I'm saying. Little bonus content today. All right, Ricky's joining us in Pasadena, California, home of the Rose Bowl, the granddaddy of them all. Boy, I got football on the brain right now. It's on my brain. Let's go, Ricky. What's going on?
Hey, Ken. How's it going? Calling you here from Pasadena.
Yeah, what's up?
Just standing outside the doctor's office, actually.
Is everything okay?
Yeah, I had a panic attack probably, Monday?
Oh,
I've
no.
been really stressed out.
Oh,
with
no.
the job switch. Basically, what happened was I switched jobs to, you know, a different company doing something that I did, you know, 2 years ago, which I felt, you know, was a step back, triple the work. It's for a better company. I don't know if I should say the company name, but.
No, don't. All right, so hold on 1 second. I want to make sure I understand you. Are you doing triple the work now? Is that what you're saying that you were doing?
Yeah, basically, I had it because I do help desk, right?
Okay.
I did it for an internal, for a small business.
Okay.
I did that for the past year and I was pretty happy.
Great.
You know, there were some toxic coworkers there that, you know, when they talked to me, they could be kind of condescending.
Yeah.
And at times I would think, you know, should I leave this company? They declared bankruptcy, but they somehow came out, you know, over the cliff on that, on top.
But you left them anyway. So you went to the current company.
Yeah, I went to a current company that's okay. it's for a network. Like if you flip the channels, you know it's a very, very large company.
It's a large company.
And I'm doing
three times the work.
Yeah, for about $3 more an hour. It's not, you know, it's not toxic, but I don't know. I feel like I made a mistake. You know, it's causing me a lot of stress.
Of course, and it I is. Think, you had have you had panic attacks before?
Yeah, I have one. Probably started 6 years ago. I have one. I get them like two or three times a year, maybe up to four times.
And are you seeing a mental health professional on this and to know kind of what maybe triggers these attacks?
No, but that's why I'm going to the doctor now, and I'm definitely going to start, you know, taking it more seriously.
Yeah. I really think a mental health professional, a therapist, somebody who's trained in this type of stuff, this is all very real, but it's stuff in your head and you need to have the tools, right, to be able to identify what's going on and then not just a physical response, but a mental and emotional response to this stuff. So I really believe in you seeing a mental health counselor on this because you can overcome this stuff. You really can. But it is serious enough that you don't want this to happen. You don't need to be going through this 2 to 3 times a year, okay?
Yeah, I agree.
Right. So what's your what can I help you with?
I mean, basically, I've been asking around with people I know, you know, I feel like I made a dumb decision. I don't know if it was the right choice.
Well, let's look into that because I don't want you to beat yourself up too much. Did you find out in the job interview enough to be able to figure out if this was what you were heading into, or do you feel like they just totally surprised you? They told you one thing and it's another.
No, I knew enough about the role. I did the role before. For my first IT job, and you know, I just figured this next go around will be easier for me because
But hold on. What I'm trying to get to is the three times the work. The workload is way more intense than what you were doing. Were you aware of that before you took the job?
No, I didn't think it would be this bad.
That's my point. So did you make a dumb decision? I think you need to let yourself off the hook. I don't think you made a dumb decision. I don't think you asked enough questions. In other words, do you think, and we're not trying to blame you here, we're trying to learn from this really quick, and then we're going to talk about moving forward. But do you think there are some questions you could have asked now knowing what you know that would have revealed to you, oh, this may be a whole lot more intense?
Oh, yeah. No, I think there definitely a lot of questions.
All right, so here's my point. You're not dumb, and you didn't do anything dumb. I would truly call this a mistake.
Yeah.
You didn't ask enough questions. You didn't poke around enough. You didn't call maybe a couple of people who knew somebody that worked over there, and you got the best picture of what was going on. Do you think in any way they misled you on the workload?
No,
I don't think they did, because I don't think you asked them enough questions to where they could have misled you.
Yeah, it was kind of like one of those deals where, you know, where you're interviewing, you don't want to say too much.
All right,
it's kind of like, they did that on their end.
I get it. But my point is, the interview, here's the lesson I want you to learn, because you got a long and great career ahead of you, Ricky. The interview is just as much for you as it is for the company.
Right.
See, we tend to think that the interview process is trying to convince the company to offer us a job. The interview process is as much for you to decide, do I want to get an offer from these people? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm learning now. And
now, I'm not a mental health professional, but I want to take a stab at something.
Uh-huh.
How long you been at this new company?
I've been here 2 months, 2.5 months.
Okay, and you just had your first panic attack?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that because you got behind on some stuff, or is it because it's a particularly, like, a bunch of new stuff came at you? Has this been the most intense week out of the 2 months? Tell me, what's going on there?
It hasn't been the most intense week, because with this company, with this role, I switch off between calls and then between.
So what chats. Do you think triggered it?
I don't know. I've just been beating myself up more and more for it. And I think it just got to a point where.
Beating yourself up. Why are you getting feedback from your leaders or the people you're serving from the help desk is that you're not adequately serving them?
No, I think it just, the workload was so much less at the last company. And then I realized how much more it is here. This company has metrics they want you to meet.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, man, this is a lot of pressure.
But have you been able to meet the metrics?
Yes and no. For the calls, yes, but for...
Okay. Is that a process? No. Is that because you don't have the ability, or is it because it's just too much to keep up with?
Right now, I just don't know enough.
All right. So my point is, here's what I want you to do. I want you to talk to a coworker and just tell them about the metrics and just get as much feedback as you can, even from your leader. Is there no need to panic right now? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You just need to go, okay, I'm not necessarily going to get fired, but this may not be the best fit for you, and that's okay. So go find, if you come down to it and say, for my mental health, I need a much different rhythm, then choose that rhythm and be okay with it. Listen, not everybody's built for the boiler room pressure, and that's okay. You're going to be fine, Ricky. Go get some help. And then make the right decision for you. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.